The episode this week is sponsored by Troy Bruce, financial planner at VT Wealth. Troy, working from the VT Wealth offices in Fraserburgh and Aberdeen, works with individuals, families and businesses looking for a dedicated, trusted and reliable financial planning service to help them identify, plan and set goals to achieve financial well-being while sustaining their desired lifestyle. Troy is committed to taking the time to get to know you, to put you at ease and to understand your individual circumstances, dreams, goals and aspirations. He then works closely with you to develop the best tailored forward-thinking financial solutions to support you in securing, protecting and making the most of your hard-earned money, whilst also protecting the things that matter the most. Troy does this by offering a comprehensive range of services and solutions, including protection, investments, mortgages, pensions, planning for the retirement you want, estate planning and later life planning. Troy is available for daytime and evening appointments in either of the Fraserburgh or Bridget Dawn offices. He can also travel anywhere in the Northeast to meet you in your home or through a Zoom call. Troy can be contacted on 07872 589 337 or you can reach him at troy.bruce@sjpp.co.uk. That's troy.bruce@sjpp.co.uk or on the Troy Bruce Financial Planner at VT Wealth Facebook page. Troy Bruce at VT Wealth. Strong values, trusted advice, wealth of knowledge. This podcast may contain some light swearing and or adult stories. If this may offend you, turn off your device now. It's a great pleasure to welcome you back to the Beyond Canal Park podcast. A week in which my local football results have matched the weather. Shite. The Vale and the side both conceding 4 to Fort Martin and Bankery respectively as they fell to defeat. White Hills' game against Cruden Bay falling foul to the weather altogether. Again, the less said about that this week the better, so let's steam right ahead and bring out this week's guest. I was joined over the landline this week by Highland League legend Charlie Duncan. As many have said, one of the best players to grace the Highland League and a man who put in 28 years of service at Bellesley managing Fraserburgh FC. Charlie talks to me about his playing days with Peterhead, Buckey and Inverness Thistle, his spell down south with Wimbledon and Crystal Palace, winning silverware as a player and a manager in the Highland League, as well as managing Highland League and semi-pro selects. He also chats about his youth policy and developing so many young lads through the Broch, and he names the best 11 that he managed in his time at Fraserburgh. What a great story he has to tell, and it was so hard to do it justice in just little over an hour. But anyway, here's what he had to say. Delighted to be joined this evening by a man who needs no introduction to anyone who has any connection to the Highland League. A man who played in the Highland League in the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s for various clubs before going on to manage Fraserburgh for a record length of time, amassing well over 1,000 games in charge of the Bellesley club. A true Highland League great, he also spent time down south with Wimbledon and Crystal Palace. And here to tell us all about his career is Charlie Duncan. Charlie, how are you doing this evening?
Quite fine.
Good stuff. Now, you said that you were going to try and DS off the cuff, so how's the memory holding up?
Probably pretty bad. But I always speak to people off the cuff. I don't believe in our way like that.
No problem. So I wonder if you can take me right back to sort of growing up and your early football memories.
Well, probably the first junior club I played for was a Peterhead side. They're now extinct. It was Peterhead Corinthians, and I was about 16 or something like that. And then I went on and played for Park Vale.
Okay.
Which is a junior team in Aberdeen.
Yeah.
It was good. It was there were some good players there. A lot of good players. Sunnybank were the top team in that day. Mm-hmm. Sunnybank and Banksy D. Banksy D were excellent. Sunnybank had Bobby Livingston, Barry. He played for Aberdeen and Abroth from Fairman. He was an excellent player. Standard was good then. It was very high.
Brilliant. Who did you grow up supporting and watching?
Uh, Port and Peterhead.
Aye. You grew up in Peterhead, didn't you?
I was a Peterhead lad, so I liked watching them. And I want to mention who I supported in the Scottish League. Like.
Okay. Were you always one of the better players coming through school and that? And what type of position and player were you back then?
I played football at the time. I mean, in my day, all you did was play football. I was quite small. I still am. But I was small and good in the ball, etc. Went for the house to the school with a tennis ball in your boots, and you kicked the ball. There was no cars in that day.
Okay.
And your touch was excellent. You didn't have to some stupid coach coaching you how to play football then. it was different. Everybody, even the boys that didn't play football were quite good. You played in the playground, and you know, there's like 30 assigned with a tennis ball, and you had the jotters you got for doing homework, you put it in your socks for synagogues.
That was a bit as much use as they were. Okay, so is it right, I said there at the start, that you played Highland League football in the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s?
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Some achievement, that.
It was 66, 67 or something like that. And then in the 90s as well, I played that. In the 90s, I picked the team myself, you see.
So, was that... Did you start with the Broch? Was it Peterhead, your first club in the Highland League?
No, it was Peterhead.
Aye.
I signed for them. And that was way back, 66, 67, something like that.
I'm
just quite sure which it was. But I trained with Peterhead when I was a young lad. Peterhead had the lads... The coach was Ian McCann, who didn't think he played much for me, but he was excellent.
Okay.
He was an excellent coach, and I trained with Peterhead since I was about 13 years old, and I knew all the players by the time I was 16.
Aye.
And it was set up then, Peterhead, like.
Aye, okay.
And then I went down to London, my aunt in London, and had a chance to go down there, and I was at Crystal Palace for a while, and what happened in that day is that if you were signed for a Highland League club, you weren't free to sign for clubs.
Okay.
They had to pay certain amount for you. And
okay.
Also, one of the things that what they had to do is they had to put in money for the what was it called again? If once you retire for football, if you've played in the English league, and before you can sign somebody as a professional, that money must go into the English league.
Okay,
At that time, it was a massive amount of money. It must have been £1,500 or something like that. Which is
big money then.
But in that day, that was a big... There was a couple of other clubs. I was up at Luton Town, and I got on really well up there with the manager. He played for Scotland one time.
Okay.
He said that... we have to sort of pay this. The players get money after they retire for the game. It's like a pension, and every player he signed is just the club's got to pay this at the English league something, and that was one of the things. I ended up with Wimbledon. I quite enjoyed Wimbledon.
Aye,
that was good.
Were they in the Vauxhall Conference at that time, sort of thing, or?
No, you were still in the Vauxhall Conference. Aye.
Okay. Am I right that you spent a bit of time at Chelsea?
I did. I was there. I trained at Chelsea as well. There was a couple of clubs I trained with, but Chelsea was quite good. At the coach was Frank Blanston, and I think you'll probably remember him. He played with Man United.
Aye.
He was a good player, and that was a big club then.
Aye.
Massive club, and I was there for a month or so.
Okay.
I quite enjoyed it. Crystal Palace was good. I enjoyed them. They were in the second
division. Aye.
They were, and I remember one of the players who he's always stood out for me was a lad called Johnny Byrne, Budgie Byrne.
Okay.
Who played for West Ham, and he was in the England squad that won the World Cup.
Oh, brilliant.
And he was, from the time I met him, he'd been about probably 34 or 35.
Okay.
And he was a bit of a character. And he, one training session, he said, I was left in the dressing room, was playing a first team game. It was a friendly against another club.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Oh, are you the Scotsman?" And I says, "Aye." And he says, "You're coming in my car. I'm going up. There's not enough room in the bus for everybody. I'm taking you up." And myself and the other lad, John McCormack, who played for Aberdeen.
Oh, aye.
And he was centre half. He was a nice lad.
Mm-hmm.
We went up, and of course, Budgie Byrne stopped at Bookies first. And he says, "In you go with that. What's your name again, Charlie? In you go." And I says, then I came for a deal. He says, "We do a pawn a bet." I says, "No, never." he was full of power, and I didn't know much about him. And he was just a lively lad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was in the same team as him. And he said to us, "Right, if you get a ball, pass it to my feet. If you didn't pass it to my feet, you want to get another kick. just pass to my feet all the time." And he was an absolutely fabulous player.
Brilliant.
He was just absolutely brilliant.
Brilliant.
And you know, he's a patter, and you know, he's a laugh a minute.
Aye.
But what a player. He was just one touch, and everything was one touch.
Brilliant.
And he always hit me, "Hey, didn't I run with the ball? Just get it, get to me." And he was, no wonder he played for England. He was absolutely brilliant. Alan Stevenson was centre half at Crystal Palace. He played for England.
Okay.
And the ground was a big support in that basin.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting between 15 and 20 thousand like every week.
Brilliant. Amazing.
It was different altogether. Like.
Aye.
And then, they put us up to Wimbledon, and I really enjoyed it.
Aye.
It was a nice ground, held about 15,000.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
And the manager was an ex Chelsea player.
Okay.
The whole thing was a good setup. Quite enjoyed it.
Brilliant. And then you made the decision to come back up north to Montrose, is that right?
I come back up north again, and the guy from Luton, I gave him my address in Scotland.
No.
He got into us that said, "Now remember, when I'll get in touch with you." And lo and behold, I got into Scotland, and I got a chance to go to Montrose.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the lads I knew, his father, Willie Johnston, he was chairman of Montrose.
Okay, aye.
And I went down there one day and played against, I think it was St. Johnston.
Right.
And Willie Orman was the manager there.
Oh, aye.
And I thought I was playing quite well the first half. And the manager says to me, "No, you're coming off." No, and I'm saying, "Jesus, I thought I played I thought I did okay there, like, and never mind, he just says, ah, well, he's obviously just not fancy me. He says, listen, I want you to sign a form. And I says, what do you mean? He says, you just took me off. I just wanted to sign. And I was a bit naive. And he says, what would you like to sign on? I hadn't got a clue. And I blurted with something, and he says, I will give you that, I will give you that. So he got me signed. After the game, one of the lads at Placers in Johnston says, listen, Willie Orwell wants to speak to you, he's going to sign you. And so that was another little thing which you just learn by experience.
So a few good years at Montrose?
I was only there but just over hardly a season. What happened there, the manager, who was Norrie Martin was his name, he was excellent, and he went to Dundee United, I think, or Dundee.
Okay.
He moved to there, and the lad that got the job was a boy called Bill Ogilvie. And he was a nice lad, but he obviously didn't rate me because he dicked out his mates.
Okay.
I found that amazing. He says to me, oh, Wednesday night, we're playing down at, I think it was about Norfolk, it was Motherwell or something like that. And he says, that's too far for you to come for your work, etc. And then the next, and it was on a Wednesday night, and it was no problem because Kenny, the lads, Bobby Livingston, Brucey Martin, etc., they all come from Aberdeen, which is only 40 miles north of Peterhead, south of Peterhead. And they managed. I said, oh, easy manage. He says, no, we'll leave you out. Cause, and then the Saturday, Brucey says to me, the boy played in 3 years. He's useless. But he got a game on Saturday.
And
this continued for about a couple of months. And I said, oh,
enough's enough.
Enough's enough. He was a nice lad. Mm-hmm. I mean, didn't get me wrong, he was okay. But obviously, he didn't fancy me, or he just wanted to hear his mates there. And I found this. The club's down there. I didn't like it at all. So I ended up going back to Peterhead for a short spell. I quite enjoyed Peterhead, but the Inverness Thistle come in and they were very keen on me, so I went up there.
Were you one of the top teams at the time?
They were just arriving. John McDonald, who was very, very famous, he came down and saw us and very persuasive. And it's a long way for a home game. But you'll enjoy it. And I must admit, it was probably the best altogether, 11 years altogether. I really enjoyed it there.
Brilliant.
With a good side.
A bit of silverware?
Oh, I didn't care how much of one or two. There was Inverness Thistle in Inverness Cali, Elgin City. They were the three teams who were outstanding. But Inverness Thistle hadn't won anything until Jock McDonald arrived.
No.
And Willie Grant was a manager. He was good.
Mm-hmm.
And the lads we had were my excellent. Ian Cummins played in midfield with myself. Brian Darcy, left back, right back, Roshi Fraser. Who on earth he wasn't playing senior football? Was it a joke?
I had Charlie Christie on a couple of weeks ago, and he was a big fan of that team. He used to go watch all the time, he said, and he said that a lot of those guys, if it was nowadays and people were getting watched as much as they are, would have played senior football without a doubt.
I think I played against Charlie, even though I was about 100 years old. I did play one game for manager of Fraserburgh, and he was playing for him by Miss Thistle.
Aye, that's right, aye.
And okay. He was a bit in the PBA team. And, aye, excellent player.
I've read about you that you were one of the more gifted players to play in the Highland League as well.
I don't know. Jerry Graham said all I did was kick people. And he was a very, very good player.
Aye. Fair enough. So obviously your last club playing was Ibrox then, and then all of a sudden...
I moved from Inverness to Bucky.
Aye.
To Peterhead, sorry.
Okay.
I went back to Peterhead. It was three times to Peterhead.
All right. Okay.
And I always enjoyed playing for them, like they were. Mm-hmm. They were good. And I had a couple of years there, and then I moved on to Bucky Thistle, who were of tremendous support. Really, really good set up they had, like.
Mm-hmm.
And always enjoyed playing for them. They were excellent. The supporters were very similar to Fraserburgh supporters. Probably two of the best supporters in the league, I would say.
Brilliant. Yeah, so playing days at Ibrox, so am I right that you signed a 2-week deal to take over as interim manager of Ibrox, and that was the last time you ever signed anything?
that was 90 years ago. I kind of really remember. I think what happened there was Brian McCann, he was the manager, mm-hmm. and George Marley before him.
Aye.
And I had a row with the committee, but the chairman was Jimmy Adams, who was he was excellent, and he wanted me to do what I wanted. He says, "Just you're good with young lads and that." Could you get a local side? Obviously, but first of all, I didn't have any money that day.
No.
And so I says, "Well, okay, I'll give it a go." And and then I spent any. I just and it lasted 28 years.
Aye.
That was when Jimmy was there. He was the driving force behind the team. He didn't say a lot. He didn't interfere or anything like that. He was always help all the time. Like
aye.
And it was something else.
And do you get how many games exactly you took charge of? It was well over 1,000, I know that.
Probably more. That was just the ones in the Highland League.
Aye.
I remember going down to, I got into trouble with one or two referees. I must have spoke Peterhead. They couldn't understand Peterhead language. They thought I was swearing at them. I always got on well with the refs off the park.
Aye.
I had to go down to the SFA in Hamden. I think it was about 5 or 6 times.
Okay.
And that day, you got a year ban.
Oh.
And you couldn't go in the park. You couldn't. It was decreased by obviously now.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But I remember that I think it was the Hibs chairman. I think it was. He said, "Your record is an absolute disgrace. You're here and you're all the same. You've criticised referees, etc." I says, "No, that's not true. I've never criticised a referee in my life." And he says, no, that's terrible. Your record is just a joke." And I says, "Excuse me, do you know how many games I've been in charge of?" "No." I says, "Probably about 1,500. "What do you mean, Mike?" I says, "Well, I watch all the youth games as well. I watch the under-18s, under-16s in the first team. Myself and my partner, Bruce Bowen." And he says, "You're telling me, I've only been sent off 5 times. I said, "That's once every 300 games." says people are going to miss 300 games now.
Are you
joking with me? He says. I says, no. And Sandy Stables, who was on the thing, he says, well, I guess true what he says. And he says, are you serious, Sandy? And I had to go out the room and they discussed it. Mm-hmm. And I had to give him a suspended sentence or something.
Okay.
And that was, as I said, but I, well, my partner, Bruce, he was a brilliant, I mean, it wasn't me at one, everything. He was there as well.
You were a team.
He was brilliant. His knowledge and everything like that. And I didn't have to phone Harry anybody.
No.
He did everything.
Okay. He was an assistant and a PA rolled into one.
He was just brilliant. There's just no words can describe how good he was.
Was he with you the whole time?
Yep.
Aye.
He was there before me.
Okay, aye.
He was a trainer, coach.
It's an amazing support to you.
Oh, he was just... him and the other man, Brian Ewlands, he was another man who played for our brother. He was excellent. He was the youth side. Because we made sure we had... young lads, other way up. Once they become 14 to 15, I sort of become interested in them because they were any younger. I didn't. You noticed they played football, but you knew that. But 13, by the time they're 16, they might not even want to kick a ball.
No, that's right.
And always encouraged them. And Bruce was brilliant at him. He could con them near brother.
So was I was. Was I was your policy right for the start for you to go out and utilise, youth?
Because
it's obviously been so successful for the Brock and started a lot of great careers for local lads.
Yes, well, I think, we won the league. You may got to believe what kind of money they were at.
No.
You would get possibly 1.5 pints of lager now.
Aye. Okay.
That's about it.
That much.
That's without being cheeky.
And
I remember one of the directors said to me, "Let you give me more money next year, Charlie." I said, "Did you get any? Have you got any money?" But it was always like that. But Fraserburgh, the young lads that played for Fraserburgh, the support at Fraserburgh, and we had a radius, Mintlaw, Peterhead, Fraserburgh. Most of the lads were Fraserburgh like. But obviously it was so sort of, I knew everybody in Peterhead. I knew them all. I had games. Bruce Brocken would go out and watch games. So and I would we was almost working sort of 4 or 5 days a week like.
Aye, so you were watching and taking charge of a lot of the youth games as well?
Aye. Everything went through myself and Bruce.
Aye.
Brian Sam, who was a club captain before, he was an excellent coach, but he'd have been possibly definitely management material, but he did a good job in the oil. He didn't have time for it. A couple of other ones, excellent, because the present manager now, Mark Cowley, I signed him when he was 14.
Okay.
Chris Hunter, I signed him when he was 15. And they're boarding with Alan Hale. Yeah, I signed him as well. They were all excellent players, and they've gone on to do well. I'm delighted with how Mark's done, Mike.
So a lot of the managers in the league played under you. What you're saying?
Just the way it was. But obviously, when you're learning them to do things when they're youngsters, sometimes it could be a bit cheeky, etc. But Bruce usually slapped him out like him.
He must have had his work cut out with likes of Moby and his breather and stuff.
Ian was Scott was no problem. He was okay.
Aye.
He was. Probably, I wouldn't say the wisest of the two, but Ian was He was a very, very talented player.
What
a time for him. But Scott was quick. He moved, you know, he got a good fee for him.
Well, I've had Scott on this podcast, and he's actually a really nice guy on top of being a great player. You must have had a very understanding wife if you were out 4 or 5 nights a week for football.
Well, she died when she was 16.
Aye. Does she like football?
No, she didn't kind of do it. She just thinks it's... she doesn't annoy me, if I'm watching football on TV, I get put to the kitchen.
Okay.
She doesn't. She'll go up and watch. She's watched the cup finals. I can't remember. I remember one game, she went up in Inverness, and at the time, Jim Leishman was the manager. And obviously Jim says to me, we'll get a pint together, etc. And I says, well, I've got a wife for this. That's okay, fine. She came in about 10 past 5, something like that. And Jim says, great result today. And she didn't even bat an eyelid. She just says, well, I spent about £7 or something like that, which is a lot of money that day. She says, I got this pair of this, etc. And she proceeded to speak to me, things. And Jim says, hi, that's a best way. You're better having a wife like that.
Aye.
But no, she's been excellent. And just now, obviously now, when you're at my age, I usually go to Peterhead games and coach some of the kids at Peterhead.
Honours-wise for Ibrox, a Highland League title, a League Cup, an Aberdeenshire Cup, and 5 Aberdeenshire Shields, 2 qualifying cups, including the very last one, which Ibrox, I think, hold now forever. Have you got a favourite in all of those?
Probably the first qualifying cup one. The qualifying cup was the cup to win. It was because I remember at Inverness, we were always I remember playing 3 qualifying cup finals as a player. I won 3 in a row. Must have been Inverness, Bucky Thistle, and wasn't a Fraser back because it was Inverness, because Jock McDonald he didn't qualify for the Scottish Cup, he went wild. He was he's that type of lad, I didn't really count so much. I won the league at Inverness Thistle 2 years in a trot. And I still got the medals, and they're up the loft.
Okay.
I never look at them.
Nah.
I just I say to the young one, do you want them? No, I know, I just don't want them. And it's something I enjoy playing football more than picking up medals. To be honest with you.
It must have been a special time and night after Brock won a league for the first time in 63 years, though. Must have been some party that night.
We had an excellent side at that time, but we probably had, without being cheeky, with better teams.
Aye, that hadn't won it.
Earlier on, probably with runners up or whatever. Because there's a couple of years before that, we played at Forest, and we were in Huntley, right up there. They had a manager from, he was from South, he's a nice lad, he played for the Rangers at one time.
Was that Bonnyman, no?
Phil Bonnyman, that's right. Aye, he was a nice lad. Got on well with him. And they were, behind us, and we had to go to Forest, and the at night, Bruce fucking says to me, we're going to Aberdeen after the game. The referees do. And I says, oh, gee, okay. So they played for us, and I think it was 1-1, mm-hmm. and we scored a goal with about 5-10 minutes to go. Paul Keith headed the ball into the net, and the ball hit the stanchion behind. Okay. It hangs the net up.
Aye.
And came back out. Everybody saw it, except the referee. And the linesman, who he was an older ref, an older linesman. And he didn't know what to do. And one of the Forest players kicked the ball away.
Aye.
I didn't go in, I hit the bar. And it was a bit of confusion. We were walking back to the centre circle.
Aye.
And the referee awarded a corner for us. And the referee, it was an absolute farce.
A disgrace.
And the thing was, I had to sit beside him at night. At the referee's view, me and Bruce.
There must have been a few choice words there.
I just said, during the game, the linesman was to blame for it, really.
He should have flagged.
He got a good view of it, but he was about 120 years old, something like that. He had a pair of shots right down to his knees, and I can't remember his name, and I just laughed. I said, well, and Forrest scored in the last minute of the game. It was, she was a good player as well. I don't remember his name. And they won 2-1.
Okay.
And that put Huntley ahead of us.
Aye, okay.
And that was the year we really played well that year. Mm-hmm. And we didn't win it. And that was the night we won it was great. Like that. I mean,
aye.
I must admit, it was with a huge support from Presenbach, who was. It was the place was, well, I think there were about 2,500 people there.
Oh, brilliant.
2,490 people were brokers. it was good. It was, you know, they deserved it after the work put in. But there was a couple of other times as well where we were very unlucky. But end of the day, you play young lads, and sometimes you've got to come off the loss with them. You're never sure. They can be brilliant 1 week, and the next week they could be not so good.
But it makes it even more special that it was a bunch of local lads playing together for their sort of local club, doesn't it? Because a lot of teams knew that win a league, more than half the players are from Aberdeen.
It was always. I kind of agree with you, but as I said, I played in 4 decades, and the team, Elgin City, and Inverness Thistle and Carlisle. You kind of compare them now with what they were there.
No.
But if Elgin had stepped into the Scottish League then, they'd have done well.
Aye, okay.
Because they had George Gilbert, Jerry Graham, absolutely brilliant players. Brian Thompson in midfield, super player. Really excellent players. Like Carly had Davy Johnston, Andy Penman.
Aye.
Although he was kind of, he was, his legs were going a wee bit, but still a brilliant player. So many good, and they were a class above the rest of the teams. And then Inverness Thistle came into the 1970, when I signed for them, 1970-ish, 1970, I think it was, and that was when they won the league. And we scored about 130 goals in 30 games. Even and Johnny Cooley had about 70 goals between them. the two wingers, Tony Fraser and Bobby McLean, were players, like
quality
players. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Rocky Fraser and Brian Darcy, who they were absolutely superb at the back. And it was brilliant. Like, it was a pleasure to play with him. Like,
aye. Brilliant. I take it you had a great relationship with the Brock fans. Did you ever come under pressure to change your sort of youth policy model and spend a bit of money, or was that never an issue?
No, I didn't. I mean, any time that obviously something's got a wee stick now and again about things like that. Aye. And I got on well with them, always did. If someone was wanting an argument, I would just say, like, what are you drinking? you want a pint or you want a nap? I'll have a pint. And I calmed it down. Obviously there were some people didn't like you or whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe because of the peer head, I don't know. For people didn't like you. I always got a lot of support for them, I must admit.
Good.
They were excellent. Damon and Bucky to me were just absolutely brilliant, like, as far as I'm concerned.
Great. I've had quite a few of your former players on, and they said that you liked to laugh and a joke, and you kept things relaxed. Was that a deliberate management style, or is that just what you're like as a person?
To me, football's simple. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the complicated too much. I went to Largs, etc. I did my B license and my first part my A license, and I learned a lot there. But I think that the you didn't listen to everybody.
No.
You take in what you can. And if you get the ball, just play it first time and pass it and pass and move, pass and move. It was all pass and move that we played. It's always one touch.
Nah,
possibly one of the best players that ever played Highland football was Michael Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted about 100 touches. He says, this is rubbish, this one touch is absolute crap. And now he's a manager in Australia now.
That's right, okay.
of a football team. And when I say, do you still run with the boys much? Like, no, I do for you to tell me no. And everybody is different, but I always was the same. When, as a player, I always played the first time. Passed it well and whatever, like.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to learn the mat, and they were quick to learn. I mean, some of the lads, like Sir Marino Keith,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I sold him to Dundee United.
That's right.
And I met one of them, I was playing in a youth game, and he said to me, hello Charlie, how's it going? All right. And I says, how's Marino doing? Well, you can tell me. I says, well, he can pass about 100 yards, no problem at all. He can pass about 150 yards, but he can't pass about 2 yards. And he says, you've got spot on. I says, but he's a very, very talented player.
Aye, yeah.
And he admitted that, but I seen that right away.
Mm-hmm.
His personality.
Aye.
Great line, great player, excellent. But you just have to. These things that you notice right away about them, like, and he's excellent. He did really well for himself. Like,
that's right. Mm-hmm.
Excellent player.
Aye. Well, you've named a few players who were obviously really talented, like Michael Stephen, Scott Murray and Marino Keith, but is there anyone who you're really proud of that developed under your time that maybe came from nowhere?
Usually you got them when they were about 16 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You think, he's got to play. Because one of the things you can't do is keep players too long.
Yeah.
I remember when Michael Stephen was about, I think he was in the 15, mm-hmm. and he couldn't play in the Highland League, okay. but he was good enough to play.
Rudy, yeah.
he came in by his side, and he was just brilliant. Him, Chris Hunter, Ian Murray, mm-hmm. Paul Keith, Marino Keith, poor. The list is endless. probably the player who, as I say, when I was in Montrose, one of the lads, he was manager, he was at Ambrose, mm-hmm. Brechin, and I met him at Larks. He was an opinion that people that played in the Highland League weren't very good.
Mm.
And I says, "You're fucking rubbish." I got the well, the wind things and things like that. And you know, I got on great with him, right? But I disagreed with that. Like.
Uh-huh.
But I think one of the lads who probably two of the lads that we had was Trevor Fleming, and Derek Mill.
Oh,
Derek Mill was an excellent player. He says if he'd been born in Glasgow or Edinburgh or somewhere, okay. he'd have played for Scotland.
Okay.
He was fast, quick, kept good in the tackle, could play midfield, but played better than a wide right back.
Aye.
And Trevor Fleming, who played centre half, mm-hmm. I always remember I was in charge of the selects about 10 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was down playing against England, and one of the lads was Jimmy Sinclair and Tommy Wilson. Tommy played right back for St Mirren in the Scottish Cup final, whatever. And they weren't very keen on Trevor. They thought this or that lad would be better than him. And I got an opinion. But it was only an opinion. And they said, this big lad, he's going to weigh his £100,000 or something moving on. Trevor doesn't speak enough. okay. so you're not playing him? No. But next morning, the morning again, the lad wasn't keeping there, and he didn't feel very well.
Okay.
So they had to play Trevor. He was a man of the match.
Man of the match, eh?
And Tommy said to me, you're right enough. Okay. And I didn't say nothing. I just laughed.
Didn't I need to say anything?
No. He was... Because we had a lot of Ian Murray played, Trevor Fleming, Derek Mill, and Michael Stephen.
Brilliant.
And Chris Hunter as well. He was an excellent player.
Aye.
I had a lot of time for him. Like he could have probably done a wee bit better for himself as a football player. He did everything. There's one or two guys like that, right? But they would have certainly, if they'd been born somewhere else, they'd have played full time.
Okay.
But as I say, like Sir Michael, he's served his time at a local firm, and he's done really well for himself. He's over in Australia, and you know, he could have signed for Dundee United and ended up with 70 quid a week or something like that, and then on the door.
That's it. You never know.
So nowadays, full time football, isn't it? So appealing to some people.
No, that's it. You mentioned Dean the selects and helping manage the selects. Was that a great experience working alongside some other great players for other teams as well as your own?
I really enjoyed it. Yep, the players. I always say we watched them and Bruce and myself. He was part of the sides, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some excellent players. Darren Stell, you go. So that was the time I was asked to select him for about 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and you had various players: Darren Stell, Parky, played for Cove Rangers. Mm-hmm. They were automatic selections. You almost forget how many good players there were in the Highland League.
That's right.
I remember when we played England at London, mm-hmm. and after the game, the manager of England came up and had a word with us, and he worked with Arsene Wenger of Arsenal. And he said, I like some of your, we're really doing 1-1. Mm-hmm. He says, I like some of your players, especially number 11. Who's he? And I told him, he says, he plays for Fred River. Does he? Okay. You must have to pay him a lot of money. 2 pints of lager a week. he didn't believe us. He's a really nice man, like. I think he worked for Arsenal, and I thought a nice bloke, he couldn't believe what I was telling him. because some of the English lads were speaking to me after the game, and they said, I've got a chance to go to Aberdeen. So who are you playing for just now? It was a team for right at the bottom of England. I can't remember who it was. It was now a mega famous team. He says, I'm in there, and they're coming week there. And this was a long time ago.
Aye.
And I says, well, I don't know, a lot of Aberdeen players are at home. But if that's what you're on, I'll be straight where you're at.
Aye.
That's the kind of things. But there was some, because it was a mystery and were part-time. Mm-hmm. I think it was one or two full-time.
Okay.
But they could afford to be a full-time. We did quite well. I mean, obviously, Tommy and Jimmy were good, they did, like. I mean, I got on really well with them. It was difficult sometimes leaving players out, because you don't like to get 16 players.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be 21 you wanted to take, but you couldn't. And you have to just be realistic and just say, well, I remember Tommy Wilson, who played for Inverurie, etc. He was mm-hmm. with Celtic. I asked him, he says, no chance, I don't want to play, Charlie. Every year I said the same, would you like to play? No. And that was him. And he was such a talented lad, like him. He was good. Like, if a couple like that, I couldn't manage.
Okay.
Because you're a week off your work.
And
difficult for some people. Mm-hmm. It was very difficult. Mm-hmm.
It's football.
That's football. I mean, again, as I said, because of the length of time I played football, there was as much different players. I mean, when I was a young lad, it was another lad who played for Ross County, Don Cowie. His son played for Scotland.
Aye, that's right.
Don was an excellent player. He could have played higher. He's a really talented lad. He's very hard. He was good, I must admit.
Brilliant. Any regrets in your 20 years in your time at the Brock? Anything you'd have liked to have done that you never got a chance to?
No, not really. I mean, I had a couple of offers other Highland League clubs to join in. Peterhead and Elgin City. The wife isn't very happy, but wanted to go to the Elgin. I think she, she says, how often you be up there twice a week?
Stay where you are.
I think I was better staying where I was.
You did later on, after you'd left the Brock, manage my local side, Different Vale, for a spell. Was it difficult to go to a new club after so long at the Brock?
I think without being, I don't want to say too much about the Vale, but at the time they were, better watch what I say, because the directors, if you put in money to a player, they expected him to play.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And I say, no, he's useless.
You can't be dictated to.
No. If everybody thinks he's a good player, I'm going to be playing. But otherwise, no. And that's the way I always work. You pick your inside and then.
Aye,
I mean, I've over the years, I've got on great with the veil. But I didn't like that. So. No. I never said anything to anybody about the Fraser Burr.
No.
I've never criticised them.
No.
I haven't been to a lot of games.
Okay.
To see them over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 games.
Okay.
I enjoyed it when I was there.
Yeah.
Just one of these things. Things move on, and that they're doing well just now. And,
it could be their year this year. It's looking ever more likely.
I think they will win it. I've seen them once this year, and once or twice I've seen them. And they've got an excellent chance. They're a bit of, still the same youth policy, but Mark he's got an older side.
Aye, he's added a few.
They're not kids.
No,
they're the youngest man probably be. He could get one or two boys coming through for a sub for a side, but the first 13 would be all mid 20s, which is not very old, like.
There must be a few of them still there, Faye, that were coming through the youth when you were there, though.
Aye, oh. Well, Mark.
Aye.
and James Duffy.
Aye.
Graham, the striker, he's in charge of the youth team.
That's it.
Because, actually, Mark Finney and Mark, manager and the centre-half, they were both signed for Fraserburgh when they won the league. They were about 16 or 17
okay.
the first
Aye.
Couple of games.
Brilliant.
And they were, we had so many different young lads there, the ages was, well, so people wouldn't believe it who older were, but it's just one of these things that we had to be it, because the lads that were playing, the local lads were doing their best, but there were all about 20-odd. I couldn't have anybody anything at 20-odd.
No.
once you sort of, if you're 16 and you're learning, then you learn quicker.
Aye, for sure.
There's one or two lads who are released, and the boys come in, and they were excellent players. The young lads, if they'd kept them out, they may have said, oh, well, I'm not staying here.
That's right.
I'm going somewhere else. So you had to play them. And that was one of the things that Bruce was very honest with them. And we were always honest with everybody, must admit.
Okay. Right, Charlie, I was getting my guests to take me through their best 11. I wonder if you can take me through a 1-11 of your players for your Brock management days that would make your first team out of that 28 years.
Aye, the Fraserburgh side.
Aye.
Okay. Goalkeepers. There's two goalkeepers who, Neil Clark, an absolutely amazing professional.
Uh-huh.
And Billy Gordon, who was there for forever.
He's a record appearance holder, isn't he?
I think he is.
Aye.
You couldn't separate them.
Okay.
Neil was brilliant. Billy was different. Excellent keeper. Really good.
Yep, yep.
Neil was very professional. And he was an amazing character. He just was a top pro.
Aye. Okay. Well, we put Mohai 2 in there. I can hear half a boot. right back.
I can only be Derek Mill.
Aye. He's had a lot of picks. Basically, Abdi that's played with him has selected him.
Aye. He was a brilliant player.
Okay. And on the left?
Left hand side. Brian Sim. Definitely. Obviously, he was class. He was a captain for a while, but mm-hmm. I mean, he probably would have been too old for but what he was really good at was just everything. His general play.
Aye.
He was excellent. I mean, he could go further back than him and Brian Ewins, but that's going back to the '60s. although possibly. A left back position was a sort of Henry Mickey was quite good, Jimmy Young. Difficult to say, really. I'll say Brian Sam, but if I'm doing Brian would be 60. he wouldn't have qualified then. I'll leave it just now.
Okay.
I'll give back to you.
We'll leave him. Centre half,
Trevor Fleming, Brian Hill, and probably Sweet Ruby would be Jimmy Young. Probably he was. He played there in the side. He was excellent.
Good dog. And right mid, we'll go a 4-4-2.
4-4-2 would be Marino Keith in the middle with Chris Hunter, I would say.
Okay. And then on the wing, who we got in the wings?
Wide left, Michael Stephen.
Aye.
And the wide right. Scotty Murray.
Okay, so who's getting the goals then?
Ian Murray and Paul Keith.
Aye, class.
They were excellent. And there's probably other two teams that could have
picked. I bet you. That must have been.
A close game, aye. And definitely, aye.
Isn't.
There was so many. Keith McCready, he was another excellent player.
Okay.
We could go on forever.
Aye. I wouldn't like to think how many players you managed in your time there. It must be a good few, Hunter.
Possibly. And you forget about one or two of them. Kevin Norris, Jimmy Bagley, quite a few lads. With John Scott doing his brother as well. From
aye.
John was excellent.
Great player, aye.
So was his brother.
Aye, Rob.
Aye. He was good lads. I'm trying to remember everybody. I didn't realize I say it's off the cuff.
I might change him on.
If I see somebody, they'll say, "You never mentioned my name." That's why you never bought my drink.
if I'd be a captain of that team, you think?
Captain of the team, probably. It's hard to say. There's never really Jimmy Young was a left back. I haven't got a left back yet. Stephen Main's brother.
Okay.
He was good. He was an excellent player at left back.
Okay.
Chris Hunter was probably he might have Carpenter did, but he sometimes was a bit stupid in the park. Getting a captain sometimes difficult to. Everybody, I mean, there wasn't anybody really that shouted and rewarded, etc.
Okay.
Marina Keith was excellent too.
Aye.
You know, he just, when he got a ball, he didn't know where he was going with it.
No.
He usually ended up in the back of the net. Little John Thompson, he was. He was excellent. John, he was just a dynamo like him. Mm-hmm. Brian Thompson. He was another one. He was tremendous skill. He didn't really know quite to play him because I remember he went down to Dundee United again with an Alan down with him, and at half time Jim McLean says to me, "He's playing well, Charlie. He's a good player."
Mm-hmm.
"Aye, but he's in the wrong area, Jim." "Wrong area? What do you mean, Mike? Left back? Nah. What can we do?" "Well, you'll find out." And then all of a sudden, there was a ball up in the air, and Brian didn't go for it as well as he should have. Jim McLean, you could have heard him in praise of her. He called him out under his son, and but he was so talented, like.
Brian. Aye, brilliant. I mind watching him. Brilliant.
Oh, he was. I always remember playing in a Scottish company, and we played against St Johnston, and they were really playing well. I think they were top of the first division at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They were winning everything, and came to Dalsey, and we were down 2-1, and we were playing really well. And it was a gale of wind blowing against us.
Mm-hmm.
And, we got a free kick about 35 yards out.
Mm-hmm.
And I says to Brian, I was playing at the time, I was 30 or 40 or something like that. And I says, "Have a go, you'll beat us, keeper. Nobody's beat him for about 10 games, Charlie. That's a bit rubbish." "Oh, here I go." And I says to the ref, "Is this direct or indirect?" And he says, "Oh, behave yourself." I said, "He'll score." And the centre half, he played for Dundee United.
Mm.
He says, "Hi, that'll be right." Brian put the ball down, had it, he's left that into the roof, and
smashed it in.
And the centre half looked at me and says, "I'm sorry, I couldn't believe that you." And then that was he was signed for Motherwell after that.
Aye. Mm-hmm.
He was some player, he'd have had to be possibly him. He played left back sometimes, and he could possibly have played him left back or something like that in a team, because he'd been forward all the time.
Aye, getting
he
forward,
was,
playing away.
Very, very talented player. He's,
brilliant.
He had a good spell at Cali as well, again.
It just shows you how many top class players you worked with, and this team would probably be, if I asked you the same question in the morning, the team would probably be totally different, I'd imagine.
Aye, definitely. I repeat, pick two teams.
Aye.
And you still would be, still somebody would criticise you for not picking them.
Mm-hmm. Charlie, I was just rounding things up with a couple of quick fire questions just to finish up, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just the first thing that comes into your head. For these ones. So the first thing is, one thing you would change about football to improve it?
To improve it? I'm not going to discuss referees. I think the game's faster now.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be... I think the lines nowadays, they seem to, there's more swimming pools, there's more gymnasiums, and there's more time to do things, to keep yourself fit.
Aye.
When I was a young lad, you were telling me to eat this and that, and like that, but it wasn't thrown at you.
No. No.
Nowadays, you're told right away, you didn't eat that rubbish like that.
Aye, aye.
You didn't eat that, and obviously your weight, you want to be the... When I was a young one, I never put on any weight at all, like, you know,
no.
Like I never was doing.
No.
Just I think because of the... People are fitter.
Aye.
Slightly fitter, definitely a drag. Their ball control is shite, like, but it doesn't matter. They're fitter.
Aye. Okay, who would you like to play you if they made a movie of your life?
Roger Daltrey, The Who.
Okay. one other club you'd have loved to have played for or managed?
Probably Glasgow Rangers.
Aye. Okay. Me and I. If you could bottle just one moment of your football career to relive over again, what would it be?
I remember going down to... Inverness Thistle was playing in the Highland League playoff against Ross County.
Okay.
And it was... We were 1-0 down.
Uh-huh.
Ian Stephen scored a goal. Ian Cummings was not playing that night and was pushing on, and it was a playoff, like, and then the ball came over, and Ian Stephen headed it in, and it was blocked by the goalkeeper, and there was about 10 Ross County players in the 6-yard line box. And the ball was going away for goals to the left-hand side. And I ran over for it, and it had my back to the goals, and I flicked it in to the roof of the net. And it was a winner. It was a quiet night. It was a Wednesday night, so I didn't even hear a pint. We won the league that year.
Brilliant.
That was a goal I scored, didn't it? That was, I remember, it was something that I practiced a lot, like,
paid off.
Aye, turning quick and flicking it. It was like a flick.
Aye.
But it went in like a dart, like.
Brilliant.
That was probably the one. Aye, definitely
is. Okay, very last question. Is there a pro player at present who do you think is closest to closest to you in terms of your style, your attributes and personality on the pitch?
Well, I was always shouting and roaring, etc. probably when I was younger, probably something like Graham Souness.
Aye, that's good. Brilliant. Well, Charlie, that's been absolutely fascinating hearing about your journey and your career and your time at the Brock. Thank you very much for coming on the show. It's much appreciated.
No problem, aye.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No, I appreciate the time. It was fantastic.
All right, as I say, it's no problem. Everything I do is off the cuff. Like.
Well, a huge thanks to Charlie for coming on the show and talking to me about his time in football. From the comments received pre-pod, he's obviously regarded as a legend across the league, both as a player and a manager. And yet he remains so humble and downplays his own abilities at every turn. Great man. Apologies if the sound quality wasn't always as clear as normal. We had to record that one over the landline for Charlie this week. If you're new to the podcast and enjoyed this one, there are over 65 other episodes in the back catalogue, covering junior to international football and everything in between. Just search for Beyond Canal Park Podcast on Apple or Google Podcasts or on Spotify. There's usually a question of the week to answer for Spotify listeners as well. Check under the episode description in your Spotify app for that one. Keep up to date with the Facebook, Twitter and Instagram pages as well for up-to-date guest news, competitions and the like. Just give us a like and a follow. Interact with us there too by leaving comments and messages. I do endeavour to reply to them all eventually. And if you're feeling generous, leave me a review too. And that'll do for this week. Bye for now.